Welcome to the Nozomi Networks OT and IoT Security Podcast. I'm your host, Sandra Keene, and joining me today to talk about digital transformation in the automotive industry is Rich Armour. Rich retired from his role as CISO at General Motors just over a year ago, and he's now an advisor to Nozomi Networks. Welcome to the show, Rich.
Hey, thank you very much, Sandra. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this critical topic.
So, Rich, you were responsible for driving digital transformation and cybersecurity across pretty much the entire GM organization. Why were those initiatives so important to the company?
Well, digital transformation is critical to General Motors because as it's rapidly evolving into not just an automotive company but a technology company, being skilled. And having a good vision and strategy for digital capabilities in the product and also across the enterprise is critical to the company's success. Would allow General Motors to bring really incredible new capabilities to its customers and fulfill the vision of zero collisions, zero emissions, and zero congestion that we hope to bring to the automotive environment in the future.
Well, I've seen three major trends happening in the auto industry, and I'd love to get your perspective on how operational security needs have changed based on each one of them. The first, which I think has been going on for quite a while, is automation of the manufacturing process. And I think automation has recently expanded to include additive manufacturing or 3D printing of parts to help speed up the manufacturing process. What impact has automation had on the need for new or different security measures in the industry?
Well, typically, a lot of folks in the security business really focus on maintaining the confidentiality of the information that their enterprises store and process and use to conduct business every day. But in the manufacturing space, as the use of robotics and as you point out, 3D printing and other digital technologies becomes really the norm, integrity of that information becomes critical because you want to protect the integrity of your products, and you want to make sure that the products are designed in accordance with the specifications that came out of the development process. And of course, if there is tampering with the integrity of that information, whether it be robotics for welding robots or other forms of automation in the manufacturing process, then vehicle safety and integrity can be impacted. So that's certainly one area. The other ever-present concern for manufacturing organizations is uptime. For factories, which represent an incredibly expensive capital investment, and every organization wants to ensure that they get maximum return on those massive capital investments. Downtime represents significant costs, and in a lot of cases where products are every one you make is going to be sold, downtime really represents lost revenue and lost profit. Because you just don't have the capacity to recover those lost production units. So it really is a very comprehensive area, not only the confidentiality of the information, but the integrity of the information, therefore protecting product integrity, and certainly the availability of the information, protecting uptime for those manufacturing environments.
So security is a very important component of basically the competitiveness of the organization. A second trend that I've seen centers around the development of connected vehicles to provide, navigation support and diagnose vehicle performance and other services that benefit both the manufacturer and the consumer. Can you tell us what's going on in that area and the impact that that's having on security needs?
Well, GM was a leader in this space for the last couple of decades, and today still has the vast majority of connected vehicles out on the road today. And obviously, many new services with the rise of digital technology and the increase of network bandwidth and speed can be offered through through these vehicles. And so connectivity is a major part of the General Motors vision and strategy for the products. And of course, as you may be aware, GM made a decision a few years ago to offer in-vehicle Wi-Fi in every vehicle that it sold. And that further enhanced the dependence on digital services. So there's a tremendous amount of capability and also risk associated with vehicle connectivity. And also there is a there's a significant opportunity for delivering enhanced services to customers, and also providing significantly more capable services in terms of autonomous vehicles and other advances in automotive technology.
Well, speaking of autonomous vehicles, another trend, or the third trend, is that it's making a lot of news is around autonomous vehicles or self-driving cars. From what I understand, they rely on cameras and other sensors that connect to the internet to monitor the vehicle's location and control its steering and braking systems, among other things. In 2015, we saw a couple of security researchers essentially break into an autonomous vehicle, and they were able to manipulate the steering and disable the brakes and I think even turn off the engine. Cyber resilience seems to be an extremely important and challenging component in this area. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think autonomous vehicle technology represents a huge improvement in as a society in our use of motor vehicles, and it is critical to the no congestion part of the GM vision. And as we've seen, with a lot of recent media reports, a lot of companies are working on autonomous vehicle technology. GM has its GM Cruise operation based in San Francisco, which is making great strides in that area. However, going back to the security risk issue, the 2015 hack by Miller and Vlasic was against a production Jeep Cherokee, and so certainly highlighted the level of risk and security threat that is present for some production vehicles that are out on the road today, and it does highlight the cyber risks associated with autonomous technology. Obviously, there is a heightened risk because there are many more there's a much higher level of dependence rather on technology systems in the vehicle for autonomous vehicles, not to mention the actual driving and direction part of the system, and so. While I think that the cyber risk concern stretches across non-autonomous production vehicles that are coming out today, as well as the autonomous vehicles that we hope to see in the near future, it represents an even more significant threat in autonomous. And so the ability of automotive manufacturers to effectively understand the risks that are inherent in these systems, and then provide appropriate mitigation controls in order to manage those risks is critical. It's critical to safety. It's critical to many other performance aspects of these systems.
So do you think that overall the automotive industry is well prepared to prevent, detect, and mitigate cyber threats and attacks?
I think that there have been great strides in the industry over the last few years. Certainly the awareness of the cyber threat has gone up dramatically. The Miller Vlasic hack in 2015 certainly helped with that in a big way. And that was also a presentation at the Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas that year. And so I think awareness has gone up significantly. As you know, the vehicle development process is a multi-year cycle. For some manufacturers, up to 5 years. Others maybe down to 3 or 4. So it does take time to engineer appropriate hardware and software-based controls into the vehicle's network and to get those out in production vehicles that are actually in the hands of customers. So the industry has improved, I think, significantly over the last few years, and is now starting to see in production vehicles in the showroom the benefits of some of those decisions that were made back in the 2014, 2015, 16 timeframe. The industry has also made significant improvements in sharing information with the creation of the Automotive Information Sharing and Analysis Center, or ISAC. And these ISAC entities are created around industry verticals like financial services, as an example, and allow multiple organizations to come together and share information about what they're seeing in terms of attacks, threats, vulnerabilities, and control mechanisms. And so that entity was established several years ago and has helped with coordinating the automotive's response to cyber threats in a significant way. The Automotive Industry Action Group has also created a supply chain security standard for the vendors that participate in the automotive supply chain at the first, second, and third tiers, and that helps standardize the cybersecurity response of the supply chain environment so that it's consistent across multiple original equipment manufacturers like GM and Chrysler and Ford and others. So there has been a lot of progress made in these areas. However, it really, with the threat level moving so quickly and becoming so much more intense and so much more sophisticated, and with the dependency on technology-based functions becoming so so significant in new vehicles, there is a need for really constant efforts to continue to improve our security response.
Well, I would imagine that budget is an important part of that, and I've heard that you were very successful at getting the budget that you needed to set up a cybersecurity center of excellence at GM. I'm wondering how you managed to do that and whether you have any tips for others who are having a hard time getting adequate funding for their operational security program.
Well, I do, and I think, first, kudos to General Motors, the General Motors leadership, in particular, Randy Mott, the Chief Information Officer, and Mary Barra, the Chief Executive Officer of General Motors, for first understanding the level of threat in cyberspace, and certainly at the enterprise level, as well as the product space, and I think, that inherent understanding of the critical need resulted in the significant levels of investment that GM has maintained in cybersecurity over the last few years. It also is reflected in the board structure. Board of directors, Mary Barra created a risk committee for the board, and then subsequently created a cybersecurity committee of the board, which allowed for really very focused board level review of the risks facing the corporation, not only product risk but enterprise security risk, and allowed for appropriate governance of the programs that the company put in place to deal with those risks. So really, I think a significant part of the success that we had there was based on really well-informed, knowledgeable leadership. However, I think, you know, every chief information security officer, you know, in a large, in a major enterprise really needs to first have a an in-depth understanding of the risks that their enterprise is facing, of the appropriate controls that they can bring to bear to mitigate that risk, and then understand the balance between letting a business function and operate as it needs to bring value to its customers and to its stakeholders, and not feel and act as if security is the only objective that the organization has to achieve. That said, you know, first understanding those risks and the appropriate controls, and then laying out and articulating a vision for a strategy for how that security program can be effectively implemented and balanced between the needs of the business and the needs of the technology function, as well as the risk management needs of the security organization, I think is critical. And then making that vision clear and, you know, not too heavily based on technology jargon and principles, but fundamentally focused on the basics of managing business risk and cyber risk in the environment. I think those are critical. Critical aspects that really help the leadership understand what the risks are and understand how the investments that are being proposed will mitigate those risks and help the business be successful.
Well, your depth of knowledge in this area is very impressive. I'm wondering if you have any lessons that you learned while at GM that other leaders could apply to their own digital transformation journey.
Well, I think the one I've talked about a couple of them already, but you know, let me go back and emphasize. I think it's important to balance the security program around protecting not only the confidentiality of information, which seems to get most of the attention in the media these days, but also to focus on integrity of the information. And as well as availability of the information. And with the rise of ransomware, we've seen availability of information become certainly get much more airtime, if you will, in the public discussion of cybersecurity. But it is a critical aspect. And if you lose your information, it's not just product information, it could be customer information, financial records, any number of other critical systems of record in a corporation, you know, that can actually threaten the existence and survival of the company itself. And so really having a balanced approach to these risks, I think, is exceptionally important. I'd say the other lesson learned from my perspective is closing the loop. And what I mean by that is, you know, never assume a security task is done. You may go out and implement a security control across, let's say, you know, all the vehicles or all the clients, you know, PCs, mobile devices, other endpoints in the enterprise network. And then say, okay, I've got that done. I can check that one off and move on to the next thing. But the reality is there's a process that I call technology drift, where, you know, the technical environment is undergoing constant change and updates and additions of capabilities. And that change process will sometimes result in security controls becoming either turned off, not installed, less effective, may affect the coverage and overall effectiveness of those controls. And so there's really a requirement to constantly monitor the effectiveness and coverage of security controls and ensure that you stay, in the zone where they're highly effective and you have high levels of coverage across the environment. So close loop, balance in the program. And I would say maintaining, really constant communication with business leadership with respect to what's going on in the cyber risk environment. That also is a big help in, which I didn't mention earlier, in helping the business leadership to understand the scope of the threats and the risks that are facing the enterprise, whether they be in the product space or in the enterprise space. And you know, one mechanism we did use at GM, which was very effective in that space, is we had a daily snapshot that our intelligence teams published, and that had pretty broad distribution in the business as well as in the technology leadership area. And it's a very short read every day, usually three or four stories, very concise paragraphs about what happened in cyberspace. How does this relate to General Motors? And that really helped over the long term educate our business and technology leadership relative to what the threats were, how they were evolving, and how they might impact enterprises in cyberspace.
Well, that's great advice. Thanks, Rich. And I have one last question for you. I'm wondering what compelled you to become an advisor to Nozomi Networks?
That's an easy one. In manufacturing overall, and not just General Motors, but across the automotive industry, and frankly, I think industrial manufacturing across the board, it's been kind of a late arrival in terms of awareness and effective mitigation of cyber risk. If you go out and look at the vendors in this space that provide industrial control technology to the large scale manufacturing environments, you see that they also are really late arrivals to understanding and effectively offering effective solutions to mitigating cyber risk. We spent a lot of time in General Motors enhancing our management of cyber risk in the manufacturing space, making significant investments in that area. And there are certain hotspots that you come away after working in that space for a while that you come away with some significant concerns about. One of them is, understanding what you have in your industrial environment. And really building a solid foundation of accurate and comprehensive asset management for the industrial networks. That is one area where Nozomi excels and I think was, built a very solid foundation early on in the concept of building the product to ensure that it could deal with the huge variety of industrial control systems that operate out there on manufacturing networks. So I think that was a critical aspect of industrial control security technology that Nozomi really has nailed in their product offering. The other aspects I think are that really attracted me to Nozomi were very smart use of artificial intelligence technology to get away from signature-based solutions, which in my experience always it's always like the threat arrives before the signature, and therefore you don't get a lot of protection from that kind of technology. There's a certain amount of latency that seems to always be in play, and the artificial intelligence approach really looks at behavioral pattern matching and looking at not just the specific signatures of threats, but the behaviors that are inherent in cyber intrusions and cyber threats. And then really separating those from the normal network behaviors that you see in the environment. And I like that that very nuanced approach to leveraging AI in detecting threats and blocking threats in the industrial control environment.
Well, thank you, Rich, for sharing your thoughts on the challenges and opportunities created by digital transformation in the automotive industry.
Hey, thanks very much, Sandra. Always a pleasure to talk about this critical topic, and certainly one that I've spent a large part of my career, working to make successful, and really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
And many thanks to our listeners for joining us to hear Rich's perspective on the importance of continually adapting operational processes to find cost savings and deliver new value to consumers. I invite you to check out the other podcasts in this series to hear more from our team and learn how we're continually adapting to market conditions and customer needs to deliver innovative OT and IoT security solutions. Thanks again.